Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Good morning again, and happy Mother's Day again, and happy Mother's Day to all those who listen to us on the internet and watch us on the internet. We are continuing with our series on the archetypes that were first brought into expression by Dr. Carl Jung. And there are basically 12 archetypes. We probably will get through maybe 6 or 7 in this particular series. Today we're on part 5. And I want you to understand, as we're talking about these archetypes that exist in the subconscious realm of our consciousness, they are not linear. In other words, you're not moving from one archetype to another, but it's more of a spiral. All right. So if you are working with this idea of being in a spiral, you could be in the innocent archetype and move around to the wanderer. But as you're spiraling, you still have parts of you in each one of those different dynamics. Does that make sense? Okay. So the key here is that you want to make sure that you're understanding that as we're hearing these ideas, that you are moving in the direction of experiencing all of them. Now, today I wanted to talk about the caretaker archetype because you think Mother's Day, we should talk about the caretaker. But when I looked up what the caretaker represents, it really was not what you want to hear on Mother's Day, right? So what we are going to talk about today is the archetype of the magician, all right? And if you think about a mother, a lot of times a mother is like a magician, right? So I think it'll fit. And the key here, too, is in the book Walk in Balance by Sun Bear, he said, the hunt is not over until both your heart and your belly are full. And that's sort of what we're going through with here in terms of, you know, meaning the concept of this series, we still have a lot more to go in this hero's journey in understanding these archetypes. And again, if you're new with us, we are calling this the hero and the heroine's journey to understanding more about our Christ consciousness. And again, if you're new with us, we're working with 7 different levels of consciousness. Herd or tribal consciousness, which is a very basic level. That's, you do it because everybody else is doing it. The collective unconscious comes from the works of Dr. Carl Jung, says that we're all connected in one way or another unconsciously. Then there is race consciousness, then individual consciousness, when you begin to individuate and begin to see yourself different from the herd, so to speak. Then there's self-consciousness, then there is spiritual consciousness, and then there's Christ consciousness. In our history, we only know 2 people who really reached that level we call Christ consciousness, and that's Buddha and Jesus. There might have been others, but those are the ones in history that are most prevalent. So we're always, and even though we have 7 levels of consciousness, we are in them, we're moving through all of them all the time. It's not where all of a sudden you're in, you know, spiritual consciousness, but you're not still struggling with herd consciousness. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, so that's the process we work with here. So, and another one, and we're working with Dr. Carol Pearson's book, The Hero Within. And in her book, she explains that the power of the magician is to help us transform our reality by changing our consciousness. So in other words, if you don't like what's happening in your life, the first change you need to make is within your own self. So if you think of the ego as the ruler of your mind, body, and heart, okay, the magician's job is to heal the ruler. And if the ruler is healed, then the whole of our mind, body, heart will be healed as well. Okay? So the magician's job is sort of to work with the ego, to help the ego to understand a lot of things that we're struggling with are things we need to be healed of. All right? So the goal of the magician is to transform our lesser realities into better realities. So again, if you're struggling with something, the thing is, how do I move out of this? And it's magician's job to help you to understand how to move out of that. The response to the dragon, which is part of Carol Pearson's book, The dragon is what we would call our problems or challenges. It's to transform or heal whatever is disturbing our faith, peace, love, and joy, and is keeping us from doing what Sun Bear calls dancing the dance of life. Okay, so the military slogan that we used a little while ago, I think about 2 weeks ago, I shared this military slogan that my students shared with me, is that in the military, they're taught to adapt and overcome. Right? And Patty was telling me a story of a woman, a young woman who had three kids, and she had been in the military, and she lost her husband, and now she's struggling, you know, with these kids and trying to, her home and all those kind of things. But she was working her way through it. And somebody asked her, how is she doing? And she says, because in the military, I learned how to adapt and overcome. She learned how to take a lesser reality and change it into a greater reality. You follow what I'm saying? So that's sort of the process. And just think about that. When you're struggling with, you know, what do I do now? The idea is I need to adapt and I need to overcome. Okay. And to complement this, the task of the magician is to align the self with the cosmos, or what we would call Christ consciousness. So the magician's job is, when the ego is struggling with how am I going to get through this, you know, again, we're looking at, as we talked about last week, we're looking at the indefinite. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But the job of the magician is to move us to the infinite. I don't need to know how I'm going to get through this, because spirit is always working through me and guiding me. But if I'm caught up in the indefinite, I don't know how, then I can't hear the infinite when it's giving me the direction that I need to move in, okay? And so, and then the gift of the magician is personal power. And many of you have not heard when I did the presentation on Dr. David Hawkins' book, where he talks about the levels of consciousness from 0 to 1,000. And 0 up to 200 are things like guilt, blame, shame, anger, fear, jealousy. Those are all the lower levels of consciousness. It's not till you get to the level of 200, according to his work, that you have personal power, that things like guilt and shame and jealousy and all those things don't have control over you. You get what I'm saying? Okay. So, yeah, so the magician's job, the gift of the magician, is personal power to get you to that level where the outside world is not always having an effect on me. Because a lot of times when we're struggling with something, you know, we'll say, well, what's going on with you? He said, oh, it's because of. And we will point to something outside of ourselves, not realizing that we made the choice to have a negative reaction to whatever that was going on out there. So, and this is how the author, Carol Pearson, describes the hero heroine as a magician. It says, the archetype of the magician teaches us about creation, about our capacity to bring into being what never was there before, about claiming our role as co-creators in the universe. This role, however, does not make us special or unique, since we share it not only with God, but also with every other human, with plants, animals, mountains, stars, with everything else. Just as the indigenous people talk about how, you know, these are the plant people, these are the ant people, these are the bear people. So they, you know, they're saying we have this creative power with all other living things. And yes, no matter how interdependent we are as co-creators with all these other cosmic actors, ultimately, we do create our own world, and we are therefore responsible for the outcomes in our lives. Okay, and that, you know, that's one of the hardest truths that we hear in New Thought, that we create our own experience. Okay, so simply, this is saying that we are co-creators with God and have a very personal interreaction with the creative power that God is. Now, years ago, I was taking a class at Loyola called Spiritual Direction, which is really the study of all of the Synoptic Gospels. And a stimulating statement came out made by Dr. Carl Jung. The statement was, the purpose of organized religion is to stifle the individual from having a personal expression and experience with God. Okay, so that was thrown out in the class, right? Now, the statement led many of the students in that class. Now, the students in the class were priests, ministers, and lay people, and it stimulated them to share their own personal experiences growing up in organized fundamental religion. They, including the professor who was a Jesuit priest, confirm Jung's statement through their own personal experiences. Okay? Now, this summation of the discussion is that some organized fundamentalist religions do not believe the individual is capable of worthy of having a personal interaction with God, so the church has to be the intermediary. And I think there's a word called sacerdotalism, which means that you can't speak to God. I, the priest, must speak to God for you. Okay? So, and you know, just so we're on the same wavelength, the dictionary definition of fundamentalist is it's a movement or point of view characterized by rigid adherence to a fundamental or basic, you know, belief or principle. Now, to be fair, unity has its own basic fundamental principles that we believe in, all right? And two of the well-known ones are: there is only one power and one presence in the universe, God, the good, omnipotent. In other words, we don't believe in any power opposite to God, all right? Or the other one is law of mind action, that we create our own life experience by the way we think and what we believe to be true, okay? Now, we still have to be careful with that, this idea that we create our own experience. Sun Baer says that this is a philosophy that should not be put before taking care of an overwhelming circumstance that's going on in your life. In other words, don't stand and say, why did I create this? You get what I'm saying? Okay? He says, in other words, do not cook your dinner on the fire that's burning your house down. Right? Instead of standing and going, why did I create this? You need to put the fire out. And I think that's really powerful. It's like Reverend Peggy Bassett, who is the head of one of the biggest Science of Mind churches. We were at an interreligion New Thought conference where all these different New Thought churches were there. And she was on two canes. And so she's a very tall woman, about 6'3", and she came in on these canes, and she got up on the stage, and she said, if one more person asks me what in my consciousness created this, I'm going to hit them upside the head with one of these canes, right? So the idea is, yeah, yes, we create our own experience, but, you know, don't use that. Don't be putting that on somebody that's struggling. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. So the basic premise in unity, however, is that the individual is responsible for engaging in the study, the prayer, the contemplation, the discernment, and practice of truth principles as taught by Jesus and other mystics to awaken within the individual his or her own connectedness and experience with God. Okay? So the key here is that, you know, yes, we all are going through struggles and things in our lives, but we all in that process want to try to understand, what am I to learn from this? How can I become more connected to the source? As I said to Pamela's sister, who's struggling with that same condition I had, sciatica, I gave her all of the different, you know, healing modalities and everything. And at the very end, I said, Sharon, try not to fight the pain, but to learn how to become one with it and ask it, what is it here trying to tell me? You know, so instead of fighting, you move into a mode of listening. Is that making sense? Okay, and so that's sort of the process we're looking for. And it's through this inner divine connection that we establish in prayer that we come to know, really know, that in truth we are co-creators with God. But it takes a lot of work to get there. Okay, it takes a lot of work to get there. And Sun Baer, in studying his works, he's saying that, you know, yes, we may have created some of the things that are happening in our lives and our bodies and things we're struggling with. He says, but while you're going through the struggle, he said, you need to begin to take on some of the natural modalities of healing that will help you with that process. Anyway, so that's the concept. So the challenge for many people is accepting or realizing this truth that we are co-creators. That's a struggle for us, that I co-create my world. Now, remember, that's not just a spiritual philosophy. That's the dynamics of quantum physics, okay, or quantum reality, quantum mechanics, you know, that we are constantly creating our world, all right? And the real shock comes when we realize that we cannot not be co-creators. We cannot not be co-creators, meaning we cannot not create and shape the circumstances in our lives. Is that a double something or other, you English people out there? We cannot not, okay, all right? Yes, yeah, it works. But the author says we cannot live without arranging and continuously rearranging our life. We're always doing that by the way we think, the way we respond, the way we react to what is happening in our lives. Now, the challenge for the orphan archetype, and if you're new to this series, the orphan was one of the early ones we went through. The challenge with the orphan archetype is they do not want to be responsible for their lives. Okay, that's the nature of the orphan archetype. Orphans believe that if only they can find someone else to take care of them, bring order to their lives, and do the magical things that make their lives better, they would be okay. Okay, now remember, this is a thought process. And the thing you got to be careful of is saying to yourself, well, I'm definitely not an orphan, all right? But yet, if you are getting ready to come up for Social Security or Medicare or something, you're looking for what? Somebody else to take care of your life. So there are aspects of it in us that are so subtle that sometimes we don't realize we're responding from that particular archetype. Does that make sense? Okay, so don't get caught up in saying, oh, that's not me. Because at some level, we are cycling through all of those. The orphan also believes that other people have the magic that they do not. And the most troubling aspect of being in the orphan archetype is that the orphan believes not only do other people have the magic to help them, but somehow they have the magic to keep them in the role of being a victim. Okay, now, however, magician archetypes teach us that other people do not, in reality, have any magical power over us. The magician teaches us that what we think others can do for us, we, through our own power, can do for ourselves. So you get it? So if we go back to Dr. Hawkins' scale from 0 to 1,000, and you know, 1,000 being Christ consciousness, and in between there, understanding things like at the level of 500, you are at a very high level of rational. You can rationalize your world. You think very intellectually high. That's where Einstein was, around 540. But Mother Teresa was at 750. You get it? So the power of love is much greater than the power of the intellect. Okay, so the level of 200 is where the magician is kicking in, because that's where we begin to understand, no, I'm not trapped in this view of being angry or fearful or in any kind of way. I have my own personal power. So go through the seven levels, you begin to individuate. You begin to individualize yourself from those things that are causing so many people to be afraid, like the news. You get what I'm saying? You're pulling away from that dynamic. So through the magician, we learn that even what Jesus did and demonstrated was not magic. And he kept telling us, this is not magic. All that you see me do, you shall do, and greater than this shall you do. And I don't remember where I was reading it, but I was reading a whole study on the word shall. See, he said, you can't do it now because you don't believe you can do it now. You don't believe that you're a co-creator now. But when you come into the consciousness of knowing that you are a co-creator, you shall be able to do the things that I do. Does that make sense? Okay? And so, you know, rather what he was trying to do in his own way, he was trying to show us that the same creative healing power that he demonstrated also exists inside of us. So when we think someone has magic power to victimize us, the magician archetype teaches us that what we thought the victimizer had in terms of power over us is really our own power that we were falsely and unknowingly using against ourselves. So when we say, oh, this person did this to me, no, they didn't do that to you. They might have created a stimulus, but what you do is you use your own power to overpower and victimize yourself. because nobody else can do that to you. Is that making sense? Okay? So the magician teaches us a powerful lesson. That lesson is when we learn to stop using our own power falsely to victimize ourselves, we will at the same time stop giving others the power to victimize us. Okay? So in that moment, we will learn that the world is not dangerous or hostile. It's a wonderful place to be. And the author, Dr. Carol Pearson, explains, as orphans, wanderers, martyrs, which we talked about last week, warriors, we find our identities in opposition to a world we imagine as hostile or dangerous. And now think about that, guys. Right now, you watch the news. What do you think? There's a lot of dangerous stuff going on out there. Okay? And yes, it is a fact that there's a lot of danger out there. But the magician is saying, don't let that have power over you. Don't let that have you cause you to live in fear. Is that kind of, okay? And she goes on to say, as magicians, we claim the universe as home, a friendly, inviting place to be. And in doing so, we reclaim innocence, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. Our relationship with life, we learn, is like that of a potential lover. We move towards a relationship walking on the edge of our fear, asking ourselves, will I be safe? Will I be loved? Am I making a mistake? Is this the right thing to do? Until little by little, we discover that it is safe to trust and let down our guard and do the dance of life that we were given to do. That's powerful. And that's coming from Dr. Pearson, but it's very much close to Sun Bear's Native American thought process and philosophy. So just think, if you knew for sure that it was safe to trust and to let down your guard, and that it's okay to do the dance of life within yourself and with others, the world and your life would be so much more exciting. And when we are excited, we are usually much more motivated, creative, and productive. You know, when we're operating in fear, it kind of stifles our creativity and our productivity. All right. So they said, how can we get to a place where we're doing the dance of life? I love that. It's sort of like the Sufi dancers. You ever seen Sufi dancers? You know, I used to, when we were in, I was going to Unity Village back in the 80s, and I've seen the Sufi dancers out there because, boy, they look crazy. You know, because they just spinning around, you know, just having a good time. But that's dancing the dance of life, right? Without pretense or caring what people think about you. It's like when St. Francis first met Rumi. And St. Francis is on the road and he comes across Rumi. He doesn't know who Rumi is. And Rumi is, what do they call him, Pam, when they do the spinning dances? Whirling dervishes. So he's whirling, right? And so St. Francis comes up to him and he starts whirling too with them. And so after they whirl for a while, St. Francis says to Rumi, so brother, why are we doing this? Right? But he didn't judge him. He did what? He joined him. All right? So that's sort of the idea behind this lesson, you know. And many of us, you know, are in a slump because our thinking and our perception of the world and our lives are in a slump. And wherever your mind goes, there your life will go as well. It's like I was watching one of the movies and they were on horses on a mountainside, and one of the guys wasn't a good rider of a horse, and the horse started going off the cliff, and the other guy stopped him and says, the horse is going off the cliff because that's where you are looking. The horse will go where you look. So he said, look straight ahead and a horse will go straight ahead. And that's what happens. We keep getting deviated off of the happiness that we said we're headed for. You know, we need to keep our minds focused on that which we want. And many of our visions of our lives, you know, are great, but we want to keep that greatness in the forefront of our mind. The magician learns that we are not life's victims. Rather, we are part of the unfolding of God's divine plan. And furthermore, it is for us to understand that each of us is an individual idea of God through the Christ. And our Christ commission is to contribute to the unfolding of God's plan in this dimension. So if you say, well, what is God's plan? Well, we know that God's plan is love because God is love, all right? So if you're going to be part of God's plan unfolding in this dimension, then your your Christ commission, your job, our job, is to operate from love. So when a cop pulls you over for a speeding ticket, you show love. When somebody, you know, you get ready to get online and they cut in front of you, you show love. You know what I'm saying? You have this, right. Yeah, I saw the face, right? And that's for real. That's for real. You know, it's like I say to my students, you know, who work in retail, that, you know, the rule in retail is the customer is always right. And rule number two is, if the customer's not right, refer back to rule number one. And they're like, oh, no, ain't no way, because customers are really ugly, right? But that's a good slogan for us also, is that, you know, people are always good. And people don't appear to be good, refer back to rule number one. People are always good. You know, if you're coming from your heart, it's very difficult for a person to keep coming from their head. Okay? And, you know, in order to fulfill our Christ commission, we must be willing to refocus our energies. Right? Now, the author says we must be willing to give up our illusion that we can force life to fit our script, that we can shape other people to match our idea of the perfect mate or friend or employee, or even that we can make ourselves fit our image of what we think we should be. All right? And he goes on to say, magicians can take responsibility for the world they create even when it is done unintentionally, blindly, or simply by living their lives. The magician says, I must have created this. What can I do different to uncreate it, to create another reality? Okay? So it's this continuous process that's going on in your mind where you're not thrown by life, you're sort of awakened by it. You know, as I tell my students all the time to college, you know, I said, right now you're asleep, but by the time the semester is over, you will be more awake than you have ever been. And they're like, I don't think I'm asleep. But then the last day of class, which was last week, I asked them, and they said, oh, yeah, I am definitely more awake than I have ever been. Okay? And it's sort of like, you know, if you've seen God, you can't unsee God. So when somebody tells you a truth, it's like you can't unhear the truth. All right? It'll keep working in your head even while other stuff is going on, even if it's playing in the background. Okay? And, you know, in terms of shaping our lives, I've been asked the question, do you believe in setting goals? I get that question a lot. Well, yes, I believe in setting goals, but once the goal has been set, I am more in tune with following the guidance of my heart and being open to not only what feels good, but what feels right in terms of the direction that I find myself going. You know, so you set the goal, but then you have to be in tune with your own spirit. How does this feel as I'm going in this direction, okay? And many people set goals and then drive themselves to force the goal into existence. And whenever you find that you have to force something to happen to the point that it's unpleasant and that you're struggling with the mental question, do I really want to do this? How many people have found themselves in that position? Do I really want to do this? You may find that the goal you have set and the expectations you have are out of tune with the flow of your soul's own natural rhythm. Okay? And that's what you want to be in tune with. You must check continuously to determine if the goals you are setting for your mind, heart, and soul are really from what you want to do, or do you find yourself doing them because you saw somebody else doing it? You saw somebody else accomplishing. It looked good when they did it. And maybe I should try to do that. Okay? And all of us have been guilty of that at one time or another. Okay? And then you get there and go, why did I want this? Okay? So we must allow ourselves to be who we are, to love what we love, and to do the work that brings pleasure to our own heart, mind, and soul. And I tell my students all the time, I said, you know, don't just get into a field because it looks good or you're going to make a lot of money. Get into it because you're going to wake up in the morning and can't wait to get to do this thing. You know, and I've asked them, I've said, now, say you've what, there's a job that you can get where you absolutely love what you're doing, but you're only making $50,000 a year. There's another job that you know you would not love what you're doing, you know, you probably hate it, but you'll make $250,000 a year. Which one would you take? Well, you know which one they choose, right? Okay? But you got to understand, there's an archetype called the prostitute. Everybody hear what I'm saying? There's an archetype called a prostitute. That's not just a social thing. Is that is what we do because we will do things we don't like for the money as opposed to those things which we would just love doing whether we got paid or not. Is that, you following me? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. We all fall into these archetypes whether or not, you know, we realize it or not. Okay, so the question becomes, how do I get in tune with the flow of my soul's own natural rhythm? How do I play my own music? The answer lies in the desire of your heart to bring your own true, unique gift into expression. Every one of us sitting here has a unique gift to give to the world. And magicians learn how to dare to get in touch with themselves at a level that goes beyond any of the other archetypes we have studied before. Magicians develop the spiritual maturity to understand that no matter what they may want, if it is not to be, it is not to be. Okay? And when the magician archetype goals, are based on the dreams of others that do not fill their own heart, they will find themselves becoming more neutral. They'll begin to center themselves and say, this is not what I want, and move in the direction that they find that their soul is telling them to move in. So our spiritual task is to dare to discover what we really want. What do we really want? And in Sun Bear's book, he talks about how a lot of the diseases in our body are created by turmoil that we've been holding on to for a long time. He said it will eventually manifest as something in your body. He said, of course, the thing is to begin to get in tune with yourself, to allow yourself to deal with the anger, the unforgiveness, the jealousy, the poor little old me, whatever stuff that we're going through, and begin to call it back to yourself, love it, and then turn it into a loving expression and let it be part of you again, okay? And he said, even when you are struggling with sickness and ailments, you still want to work on bringing yourself to a point of peace. Is that, you get it? Okay? And it's not necessarily that you're going to get to that point of peace. You may, that ailment may be with you for the rest of your life, but peace can also be with you for the rest of your life. Faith, peace, love, and joy can be with you as you move through that process. Okay? And yes, that's a difficult one to understand. But don't let what you're struggling with take you away from your true goal, which is to live in faith, peace, love, and joy. And in order to live life fully, to be able to dance, the dance of life, I love that. We must know our own importance and harmony in the unfolding good that God is bringing into the world. Remember, you are here to help God with God's plan. I am here to help God with God's plan. You get it? And you may be called to do things that you would not ordinarily do. You hear me say all the time, I would have never raised my hand and said, I want to be a minister. I don't know how that happened. All right? But as the process began to unfold, it felt right. So I just stayed with the unfolding of the process. Is that okay? But it was totally against what I really wanted to do, which is what my brother's doing. Making zillions of dollars running his own business. That's what I wanted to do. And that's where I was headed. But this other thing kept saying, no, you're going in this direction. So I had to follow the unfolding of my heart. Okay? And the author says, magicians know they are important, that their individual choices and acts accumulate to co-design the world. They know that it is not only by giving their unique gift to the universe that true happiness and satisfaction can be found, but they know it from their heart, and they give it with all of their soul and all of their spirit. So as always, the choice is up to each one of us, to choose to discover our own unique gift and dance the dance of life, or to continue to wallow in a false sense of unimportance, not realizing the great contribution, the great gift that you are here to contribute to the unfolding of peace and love in the world. But whatever you decide to do, know that it is your choice and that you have the ability to create your own reality. Thank you. Amen.